morning, good morning. The Committee on Budget and Appropriate Forum present. And we're meeting this morning jointly with Public Works and Transportation, Labor and Parks.
Can we call that committee to order?
While we go through the items, members, if you would please look at the minutes for approval, and at some point, a motion will be in order. In order to clear the agenda a little bit, I will be removing item number 4 from the agenda. My budget staff reports that we have some missing information. So item 4 will not be discussed in this meeting today.
The agenda for the Public Works Committee, obviously in this joint meeting, has the same agenda item on it, number 4. And Public Works will not be taking action on this, discussing or taking any action on the item until we get the information requested.
Who offers the information?
Aren't they not the same? Number 4 and number 4 are not the same.
What?
One is 3237 and one is 3229.
Well, what item number, Mr. Chairman?
Number 4, I
number 4 on which
32,
agenda?
3237.
It's 3237.
Okay.
3237.
So that's on
ours.
That's
number 4
on budget.
But
it's number 8 on ours, Bill.
It's number 8. Sprout Brook cell closure.
Right. Again, I don't have the details. It won't be discussed.
No, it's just not the same number.
Right. Yeah, to eliminate the confusion, this has to do with the Sprout Brook cell closure. The $6.1 million bonds. So it's the way it's listed on the agenda is less important than you know what the actual item is. I have an agenda that lists it as item 4, so we're going to have to make sure that the most current agenda for Public Works
listed
as
8.
Number 8. Okay, so that's the agenda we're using this morning.
All right, we'll move to the top of the agenda of budget appropriations, which hopefully is similar than yours, Mr. Chairman. And we have item 1, ID number 3240, Klondike 4th Street Playground, Mount Vernon, and the two subsequent items are related. The chairman of Capital Projects, Mr. Williams, this is...
Yes. The item came before Capital Projects. This is a legacy program that started last year. It was between the city of Mount Vernon and the county of Westchester. The design of the program of the project was completed last year. And this is the bond act for the construction, which is $1,250,000 for the rest of the project to be completed. It's a park in the city of Mount Vernon, and there was the FP or the CEQA was done by the city. It's included here as CEQA under the CEQA status sheet. It's a small executive program, and it's a redoing of a park.
What number, Bill, is this on our calendar?
One,
agenda?
Number 1.
Public Works Ordinance
11.
Yeah, you'll see that there are three items together, 3238, 3239, and 3240. Yeah, the amendment of the IMA. Bond Act. You see that?
Mm-hmm. No, okay. I got it now.
Question?
Yes,
what's the pro quid pro? What does Mount Vernon take?
Right.
Give back?
The item actually dealt with the quid pro quo. There was a number
Thank
of
you,
projects
Chris.
That the city of Mount Vernon had done for the county in terms of affordable housing in the past to meet the county's affordable housing requirements. And those items, those projects were never, the city never really got anything for doing them. And the city, and so the county recognized that the city actually has done its part in assisting the county to meet its requirement, and therefore this project was more than fulfilled in terms of the amount of housing that the county needed, that needed to be done.
So that was part of this legacy
That was
grant.
Part of the legacy, yeah.
Any streets? Any roadway?
No, because the project was based on the affordable housing that has been completed by the city rather than the streets.
Got it.
And it was more than was required for this legacy project that the city had actually completed for the county to meet its affordable housing requirement.
Members, any other questions, concerns?
Chairman, can I ask a question from the outside?
Sure, colleague.
My question is the deal, I'm assuming we're talking about all three at the same time in regards to this. I was just wondering, why would the county lease property that's owned by the city, and the city's going to be running the project, the property, the county is contributing toward the equipment, but why would the county lease the property?
We've done similar projects.
That's for the legacy program, it's all done as a lease.
Yeah.
All the legacy programs are done.
I'll give you an example. One of the biggest legacies we did in Yonkers is we actually took some property from the state and from the and partly from the city in order to build three soccer courts that are run by the city today, and very efficiently, by the way. So it's similar in legacy. That's really how it's usually done. And in order to make everything proper, I guess, follow procedure, this is the type of arrangement that usually takes place.
This is coming from our board, though, right? This isn't coming from upstairs.
Well, it's got the board actually is moving it because it was in the capital projects. It was part of the capital projects we approved.
When was that? 2 years ago? Or?
Yeah.
All right. Motion is in order. Is there no more comments? So, and I figure you as the host and Ms. Preckman as also representing Mount Vernon would second for budget and appropriation. Mr. Chairman.
I have a motion for Public Works.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Second.
All right. Any other questions? Otherwise, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, item passes. This is the three items, the 1, 2, and 3 on the budget agenda, which would be on your agenda, Mr. Chairman.
9, 10, 11. Once again, we just took up the resolution for a public hearing on the local law and then the amendment of the IMA and the Bond Act for $1.5 million.
Okay.
That's a lot of money for this playground.
All right, we've moved on the budget agenda down to item number 5, and this is a Bond Act SY085 sewer system rehab. $2,550,000.
Commissioner LaRose is here.
Okay. Just a matter of notes. Capital Projects also have gone through these. The next two projects also.
Which number are on our agenda, Phil?
Thanks. We're looking forward to another group of 6, 7, and 8.
Okay.
Five, six, and seven.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a quick question. I'm sorry to interrupt. Can be explained why number 4 is being skipped over again today?
Our budget staff requested items to be submitted, and they're not here. I don't have the particulars, colleague, but in this instance, my senior staff tells me we're missing information.
Oh, okay. I know the commissioner's here. I was a time.
Time
issue.
No. If it was a time issue, we should have the information.
Right. All right, Mr. Chair. Can I?
Yes.
To this point,
Chris Crane, the Environment Committee Council, had some questions regarding that project. Perhaps I can submit them to staff.
Definitely.
That they can submit as well, and we'll get them all
and
answered.
And I'm committed to expedite
the Oh, of course, of course. Yeah.
What
Thank
are we
you.
Talking about, Sprout Brook Cell?
Yeah.
Commissioner.
Okay.
For the record.
Commissioner Tom Morrow, Environmental Facilities. The two bond acts for SY085 are all for the repair of the North Yonkers trunk sewer. You will remember back in, I believe it was April 2007, we had a major break on the Ginsburg property in Greystone.
Yes.
And subsequent to that, we had a study done of the entire North Yonkers trunk sewer. The first bond act for $2,550,000 is to repair and stabilize the areas of the trunk sewer where we found the trunk sewer exposed or there was some erosion, and that is to take care of all of those areas. In addition, we also found some areas when we had the break at Hastings that needed attention. That is all included in that first bond act for $2,550,000.
Okay.
The second bond act for the same account is for the repair of the North Yonkers trunk sewer in Hastings. That is the $1,250,000, where we had a collapse of one of the manholes. And again, the North Yonkers trunk sewer is just in an area that's very inaccessible on steep slopes, and that is one of the reasons why we have some of these costs that run over $1 million.
And the third item becomes the amendment itself, right?
That's correct. There's a capital budget amendment for the 1.25.
Now, Commissioner, it was anticipated that we were going to have some overruns because of the extent of the damage. Is that included here?
When you say overruns?
Meaning that this ended up costing us more than we anticipated, the fact that there's a...
Well, the $1.25 million just was due to the area that it was in and the accessibility, and we had to actually drive piles and put in lagging to protect the workers so that they could get in the area. So we had to actually dig back into the hill and then support it before we could get back and actually. And again, we had to build a road all the way back to that area, put in crushed stone and everything, just because of where the trunk sewer is.
$3.8 million.
It was horrible.
And then
there was another construction going on that was in danger of collapsing too, right on the upper side of Warburg.
Oh, that's by the Ginsburg property. Right. We're very close to negotiations with getting on the property, and there'll be a repair for that as well.
But today, everything has been corrected on the. And then we don't have any leakage or anything?
Oh, no, there's no leaks. No, the leaks were, in Hastings, were stopped, in a few days. Mm-hmm. And then we had bypass pumping until we could actually perform the repair, which took, several months. But, no, there are no leaks along the North Yonkers trunk, so and these repairs will help to prevent any in the future.
Commissioner, I understand our jumping on the leaks in the system quickly, but to the extent that the potential slope failure, the erosion study looked at what happened there, are conditions, the terrain, whatever, are we just looking at something similar to occur at some point down the road, just because of where the line is located?
Well, I think we have to be careful in letting the different municipalities be aware that where their storm drainage goes has an impact on our trunk line. We had another repair that we made at River Glen up in Hastings before there was a break, and there was a lot of drainage that came off of Route 9 that eroded around our pipe.
Yeah,
so
okay.
We have to be vigilant that they make sure that they divert that away from our facilities.
All right, if there are no other questions or concerns, the motion is in order for budget appropriation.
Second.
Mr. Burton, second by Mr. Williams.
We have a motion for Public Works.
So moved.
Second. Motion, second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Make that for both me.
Those three.
All right, and that is items 5, 6, and 7 on the budget agenda. Maybe similar in this case. Agenda
5, 6, and 7.
All right, moving right along. Item number 8 on the budget agenda, Yonkers Joint West Water Treatment Plant, additional water service. And are these related, Commissioner?
The additional water service is to bring city water into the Yonkers Joint Treatment Plant. Right now, the plant has one source of water, one 6-inch line that comes in. Our backup line amounts to a 2-inch line that runs through the old South Yonkers greenhouse. It is inadequate to support the plant, and we had some fire flow tests done on our hydrants, and we don't meet fire flow conditions. So this project will both give us a second source of water. There is the one we're tied into now comes over the Ludlow Street Bridge. The second source actually comes under the tracks, closer to the sugar house. So no matter which one, if one is unavailable, we can switch to the other, and we'll be bringing an 8-inch line together with the 6-inch we already have down to the plant, so we'll have two sources of water and adequate fire flow.
So you say this would be city water, and what's the other water? Isn't it city water also? The 2-inch that you said?
The 2-inch is city water, but that was just enough for the seal water on some of the pumps. Some of the larger drawers of water, especially for fire protection, just couldn't be handled. And over the years, the plant has increased what they've done for odor control and chemical usage, which requires city water. So it's inadequate from the original design.
All right. I have reported to the neighborhood when we spoke about the departmental review that we would be having, as soon as the summer's over, an update on that odor mitigation project. So, my office can agree on it.
We'll set a date and we'll have a presentation.
All right, people, this is basics. Probably safety more than anything else. The need of water in this humongous plant we have in Southwest Yonkers. There are not any questions or concerns. A motion is in order. If I may second that,
of course, excuse me.
I'll second Mr. Beckman's motion.
Motion Public Works.
I'll move it,
so
Mr. Chairman.
Second.
And Ms. Williams will second my motion.
Any discussion? Further discussion?
Okay, if I may, for both committees, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right, moving right along, a bond act amendment, B0045, Putnam Right Away.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think this was a project. Yeah. This project actually we had gone through last week.
We had the water last week.
Can I step back for a second?
Sure.
I'm going to sign in on my pad. Sign on this.
Let me just check on this.
No.
Yes, but I want to hear about this.
I'll just watch for 30 seconds.
Commissioner? You're here for this item, or
yes, for Crane Road for Columbus Park.
Oh. All right, we have another item. Is this an error because we have this presentation for the Putnam Right Away?
There was a minor correction that had to be made in the bond act legislation And that's the reason why it's on here today. We've gone through the capital project, so it's not any significant.
Significant, but we
no.
needed to bring it back.
But bring it back
to make that correction.
Yes.
All right, then Ms. Freckman.
Make a motion.
I make a motion.
And I'll second your motion, Ms. Freckman.
You have a motion. You have a motion and a second. Is there a motion?
Yes.
Second?
I'll second.
There's a second. Okay. Any discussion? Commissioner, could you just basically review this bond act for the Public Works Committee? It's been in front of budget, has not been in front of Public Works.
Okay, this is the one for the Putnam right away?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. This is the missing link in Yonkers, which is off Tuckahoe Road by Mile Square Road, behind Dunkin' Donuts, that whole commercial development. The project was designed by our planning department, the landscape architect section. They are ready to go out to bid as soon as the board appropriates the funding for this. So we expect to go out to bid, and we would have this thing under construction probably August. It should hopefully be done. It can be done probably by the end of the year, if we can accelerate at this point. It's mostly we've
The missing link.
We just completed and reopened the Moscow Road Bridge last week, so it's right in that general vicinity. Where you come off Tuckahoe Road, the one-lane bridge, Moscow Road Bridge. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we had a lengthy presentation which showed specifically where the path is going to run on last week's meeting. And all Yonkers legislators, of course, very excited because people have been asking this for the longest time, and there's been negotiation between the neighborhood. Sherman Jenkins was instrumental, actually, to a few of the people that, you know, the whole,
yes.
the ones that were holding back, encroaching into our path. But all of those issues have been resolved in a one-to-one basis, and it was a great presentation from planning.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, thank Ken Jenkins, because I've been here. I was here through Marcello. I was here through Andrea Stewart Cousins. Nobody got to those people.
Right.
Nobody got to the residents around there. Ken was there. He did it, and that is the missing link, and it's a shame that we wasted all that time not having that Putnam Right Away.
I want to thank all my Yonkers colleagues, because we all did this together, right?
Right,
I mean,
we did, but
cause it was
we
necessary.
Waited a long time, Ken.
Well,
why was because Lou was against it?
So was Andrew.
Yeah, true. All right, we moved it out of committee already, right?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. We from.
If there's no other discussion, we have motions and seconds for both committees.
I didn't realize
there was any discussion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks so much, everybody. All right, and item 10 in our agenda is the item that you mentioned, Commissioner. Crane Road Bridge replacement. Crane Road, yeah.
Crane Road, yes. Crane Road Bridge is going very nicely. We received design approval from Federal Highway Administration. We're actively involved with the Law Department and with DOT Real Estate in terms of the temporary easements that are necessary during construction, as well as some. It's been discovered that a portion of the bridge replacement area involves a land trust, which we thought was owned by Metro North. So our law department's actively in the process of pursuing that with the appraisers from state DOT. With a federal project, all of the right-of-way acquisition issues have to be resolved before the state will let us go out to bid. As you will recall, we've secured $47 million worth of federal funding. The federal funding is 80% federal, 15% state through Monticelli, 5% county. So ultimately, our tab for this bridge reconstruction project will be a very small number. We must go out and let and award the project prior to the end of federal fiscal year, which ends September 30th of 2011. We are on track to do that. The only piece is the right-of-way piece, and what this amendment allows us to do is allows us to increase the capital budget by $460,000, which the state will pick up for us at an 80-15 5% share. So ultimately, the county's exposure is around $25,000, which we do have in previously appropriations that we have not utilized. So we're just asking for the CBA to increase the project by the $460,000, which is really for temporary right-of-way, which the state will pick up the bulk of the tab.
I thought we already did an approved work for Crane Road. This is Crane Road you're talking about, right?
Yes, this is the
Didn't we already do significant work there?
Yes, we did an emergency work to the tune of about $1 million that the board appropriated about 3 years ago. We've completed that emergency work. That emergency work was to get us to this piece.
where we can actually let the project next year.
And what's the final piece going to do?
This will be a total realignment of the bridge.
It's a massive
job. It's estimated at $40 to $45 million.
And what's it going to do to the traffic and so forth?
Well, the way we're programming this, we're actually going to build the new bridge on a different alignment, leave the existing bridge intact, and then do the tie-ins on the approaches. So that'll minimize any disruption on Main Line.
So you're going to have a new, is it a temporary bridge?
No, it's a permanent bridge. It's on a new alignment. It actually shifts a little bit towards Scarsdale. It's a compromise, getting away from Edgemont and shifting a little bit closer to Scarsdale toward the river, but not that close to Scarsdale where Scarsdale would have a problem. We've been meeting with Steve Papalotta from the village. They're very receptive and supportive of this project and the alignment. We've gone through about a half a dozen or more public hearings with all local communities, and everybody signed on. And subsequently, the feds have issued design approval to proceed with design.
They have a great PowerPoint on this whole thing.
Yes.
If you want to see it.
Yes. This will be a great stimulus for the whole county, the region, and next year when we go out to bid.
Great.
Roll call.
Yes. For budget on appropriation, motion is in order.
Some
motion.
It's all right.
Moved by Ms. Breck and second by Mr. Harkin.
And for Public Works, a motion by Mr. Burroughs, second by Ms. Williams. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Moving down to items 11 and 12 on the, and this is Columbus Park. Two related items. I have a note from.
Is this, do we have this? I'm sorry. Is this on our agenda, Bill?
Yes.
Is this number two? Or?
You're looking at the IMA is number two. What I am doing as chair is I'm bringing on to the agenda the item that appears on budget this morning. And
it would be 3106 and 3105, Mr. Chairman.
The item on our agenda is 3105. The item that I'm bringing on is 3106. It's the accompanying bond act.
Which we don't have as part of this, right?
No, okay. Well, Susan, do the members have the bond act?
It should be in your folders as part of 3105.
Okay, it's inadvertently left off the agenda.
Yeah, and this is an item that our subcommittee on capital budget has reviewed.
Right. The subcommittee has gone through. We had a number of projects that we actually met this morning early to go through because we had a list of projects that we were going to move, and all of the projects you see here went through the subcommittee this morning.
And again, I have a communication, Mr. Rogowski, who is the representative legislator from that area, reports that almost 2 miles of county road will be taken over through these.
Yes, 1.72 miles of county roads.
All right, Commissioner, do you want to take us to this project?
Yeah, the Columbus Park project was a legacy project. When they started construction, they encountered a lot of field conditions, primarily, rock removal, plantings. There was, from what I understand, there was a lot of unforeseen field conditions, which resulted in the project overrunning their budget by approximately $580,000. Consequent to that, there was an agreement with the village to assume the 1.72 miles of county roads, and the roads are listed in the legislation. But I would like to bring to your attention that you're taking the county roads as is. And the one road that does need work is Bowman Avenue. In 2009, we had prepared a budget estimate to redo Bowman Avenue. And the budget estimate total was for $340,000, which they will now take the road as is. So clearly, the $508,000 buys you a savings of approximately $340,000, which we had prepared as estimate $607,000 in 2009 for Bowman Avenue. So this legislation is as is. So if you net out the 580 minus the 340, actually the project's actually worth a lot less.
I on behalf of Mr. Rogowski that's not here, I'll be delighted to move it.
Second it.
With Public Works, are there any questions before we move and second the item? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Motion to second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Both committees opposed. Items are passed.
Very well.
Thank you.
You were eloquent this morning, huh?
I actually wasn't. I didn't think I had a beer today, so.
Well, we
are a little more soup. I know that I
have not. We're not related. As a matter of fact, this is. This,
you're among friends. We won't tell.
This is what we expect, because at the end of the day, this is the committee. We have subcommittees that review a lot of stuff.
I know, I'll be back.
We want to see you here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Commissioner. Pleasure always. The minutes, members, if you didn't have the chance to peruse them, motion is in order. There are no minutes?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I just saw them listed there.
I know that. With the new system, that automatically
goes out of
the
category.
Okay.
That's fine.
Maybe you can receive and file the item 3208.
Item 3208. This was an item. Can you explain it, Tom?
Yes. This was on as an added starter on last week's budget agenda, and we removed it from the agenda. And
it was placed, and then it's done, right? Okay, so this is
what
pretty much
about?
Non-existent because...
What was it with regards to?
Was this the... refresh my memory.
That was a revision to Act Number 42010 with some regards to the 60s. I'm not sure if it's available.
But we acted as a board on the item already.
No, we did not.
I'm not sure I understand that.
I think we received it filed.
Yeah, that's what
okay.
I
mean.
All right, motion is in order to receive and file this item. And I'll move it if nobody does.
So move.
All right, and second by Mr. Harkin. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Receive and file. And we have the Finance Commissioner to review Westchester County Healthcare Corporation receivables.
Bill, are you still in? We're going to adjourn our meeting, or? Why don't we do that, because we have other items to take up.
I'll make a motion if it's okay.
I'll entertain a motion to
second.
Adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Stands adjourned. We will
get
4 o'clock.
We'll be meeting at 4 o'clock today.
Can you just tell us which item this is?
The Business Finance Commission.
Oh, okay. And we don't have anything in writing?
No.
Got it. What I do wrong now?
Commissioner, welcome.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, so I'll be in.
Trying to stay cool.
Yeah, aren't we all? Well, this is regarding Westchester County Healthcare Corporation's receivables. In this box, this comes to the agenda. We got the receivables.
Just I mean, doing the year end, and that's not final yet. It's only a draft one. But one of the stuff items that came up was a receivable for the healthcare corporation. So we just wanted the finance commission to address what that matter was and how the dollar amount and the two components of it. Just so that the Budget Appropriations Committee would understand when we got to the capital
Sue, will you just close one of the doors?
Just close it.
Or take the argument up.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. Just so, can we just go history-wise so, you know, we can get caught up on what that meant?
It'll be much easier here. Olivia? Okay.
Olivia, can you please join us?
I can speak on it if you want, or Olivia can come up.
No,
it's just that it was hard to hear you. Only there was so much going on. This was 2009 year end?
No, 2008.
Oh, eight?
It's reflected on the 2009 financials. In the transition agreement, there was a provision for maintenance of effort by the county to the medical center in the total of $85 million, and that was for a 3-year period, not to exceed $85 million.
Right.
So in 2006, 2007, the medical center was billed a maintenance of effort, not required to pay to the county. In 2008, the number then exceeded in the aggregate $85 million. So there was correspondence between the county and the medical center at various type of venues. So it was email, caucus meetings, a couple of different venues, how this information was being transferred to the medical center. Long and short of it, $3.2 million that was exceeded in the maintenance of effort to the medical center at the end of 2008. In addition to that, as part of the agreement with the medical center, they made a payment of debt that the county is still paying, but they paid it to us. I believe it was incorrect, the amount that the county gave to the medical center, and then later explained to the medical center that there was a $2.5 million that still needed to be paid back to the county. So when you take those two components, $2.5 million of debt and $3.2 million of maintenance and effort, you have $5.8 million that is owed to the county from the medical center. So the 2009 financial statements are going to reflect that because now it is over a year old. The 2008 financials, it was not reflected because it was a current receivable. It was just shown as a receivable. It was not shown against our our fund balance. So in speaking to the board's financial people, we actually applied this against our fund balance because now, since it's over a year, we have to do either reserve for the money that's owed or an allowance if we're not going to collect this money.
Mr. Jenkins and then Mr. Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody
so,
else?
So, Mr. Chairman, just okay. So where we are right now is that the medical center owes us
$5.8 million.
Like you said, 2.5 and 3.2.
Correct.
So.
It rounds up to 5.8.
Okay, all right, so we're just rounding. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so 5.8 total. From an invoicing perspective, Mr. Chairman, did we invoice the medical center to say you owe us $5.8 million?
As far as I know, no invoice has gone out except for the emails, which can be considered an invoice. Not an official, letterhead email, bill, as far as I know.
And do you, Mr. Chairman? I mean, just want to know. Now, can we immediately have that done?
Absolutely.
To invoice the medical center and
they are aware because I personally had several conversations with various people at the medical center, from Mr. Israel down to Gary Benicki down to John Morgan. So they are fully aware of this.
And willing to.
Are they disputing it?
It's more that they're not acknowledging. The maintenance of effort piece. The $2.5 million they are aware of, and they fully understand that there was either, I don't know, I wasn't here obviously, but I think what happened was when the debt number was given to the medical center in good faith by us, it reflected the end of year debt amount, and this $2.5 million had not been made yet. So I believe that's what happened. So they're fully aware of that one. The other one, I don't think they're
aware. Before you go on, I don't, Bob, Olivia, can someone, I think we have enough people in the room coming to think of it. We have Bob, Olivia, and Ann. Could we somehow set the background for this $2.5 million?
I get the 3.2. I don't get the 2.5.
I'm losing this completely.
Yeah.
It's $2.5 million.
The $2.5 million, when we did one of the final IGTs, there was a their component to offset what we had to pay was to give us the money equal to the remaining debt for two or three bonds. I think what Anne Marie is saying, what happened is when, in fact, we gave them the number for the debt, it was what was on our books probably at that point in
the end of the year.
At the end of the year.
I think they gave them the balance of the debt as of 12/31 of 2008. But that payment of 2008, the principal payment, had not been made. Therefore, the balance is higher.
Right.
That is what happened.
So that was one of the final IGTs where we actually had a cost
to offset the payment to.
Right. So that was.
Basically, their payment to us was short.
Short, exactly. Exactly.
That happened in 2007?
No, 2008.
So we carried on the account. We carried on our balance sheet the $5.8 million as a receivable.
It's now on the balance sheet.
Right. And then the additional amount was money over the MO. Because remember, we were obligated to give them $85 million in total. $45 million and change went out initially with, I think, the tobacco settlement.
Right.
And then over the period of the next 3 years, we were obligated roughly to $15 million. Recognizing that when we went over that, they were in fact, and I believe the maintenance of effort even says that's where our obligation ended at the 85. So the that difference is because we were over
the maintenance of effort. That's the part that they're not. I'll say they're not agreeing or they're not acknowledging that they went over.
And there's a history of emails back and forth to them explaining. And if you look at Bennett Keelson's report that was given to the board every year, they used to reconcile that for you every year, so we knew that the maintenance of effort was going to be exceeded in that specific year. So it's not like this.
It's very documented by utilities, gas. It's very well documented. They're just the conversation I had. They said it seemed that the charges were excessive. That was their own.
And the charges
ran. They should have been doing it themselves if they could do it more affordably.
Well, and the charges ran the same every year. So the charges were roughly about the same in the 2 years prior, and then through the third year when they went over.
It was actually the least amount in 2008.
Probably because our utility costs had gone down in that year. So.
I have Mr. Burton waiting. Mr. Jenkins, I'll come back to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the chairman is right about the memorializing in the bill, and then referring back to the documentation. But I think if we've got to wave something at them, I think a bill is probably the strongest one. But my interest in this is knowing once the money does come in, to it will not be applied to the 2008 year because that's been closed and a charge has been made against fund balance.
It's still a receivable.
It's still held as a receivable, but to what budget? To what year? The current year when it comes in?
It's a 2009 receivable at this point.
All right, and if it's not paid till 2011,
we will have to make a decision in 10.
Okay, so you'll put it in for 10.
It's against the fund balance.
What, a reserve or just a
both.
Receivable?
Both. The two components are shown differently.
Okay, one will go into an account and the
one's
other
one's an allowance and one's against a reserve. So they're both hitting the fund balance just in a different way.
Okay, and then when it's paid back, they will both be wiped out. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Mr. Jenkins, going back to
the current proposal, though, is to set up an allowance for doubtful accounts against the receivable, which would net to zero for 2009.
For just the MO?
Correct.
For the MO,
but that
not
would
for
be
the other piece.
$3.2 million that would not be part of our fund balance for year-end 2009. And that was the discussion between finance and our staff.
So where does it become available?
What the allowance is basically saying, when you set up an allowance, it's saying, be on guard, you might not collect this money. So that's the way it is right now. Be on guard, we might not collect it, so we've taken the hit off of the fund balance.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'm partially concerned that this money be available for the 11, if it's paid in 2010, that it be used for a credit to fund balance, so that we're just going to have less of a deficit for the year or the projected for 11.
It would be for 12 because
if we paid it in 10, we get the cash.
The fund balance of 9 is what's used for 11. So
that's
it's already
where the number comes from. Yes,
correct.
You still have to that point.
That's why we need to immediately send an invoice and say, bring us our money at the end of the week. You know, we're going to send people over to pick it up, right?
Okay.
Because then it would go into fund balance.
Anne Marie will be over.
It would drop to fund balance for 2010, which we
it shows up in the 11 budget.
That's right, and it shows up for the 11 budget. So that's the reason that we.
If they gave it to us before we closed out, which we have not closed completely, yes, that could happen. But
can we get it yesterday?
I've been having discussions about this since January, and they have the, I'll call it a mock invoice. Well, see, the way this is invoiced, it's not invoiced individual. It's invoiced by the department who's sending the charges. What I can do, I believe, is I can send out a total amount from me. And say this is what's owed, but normally the billing comes from the respective departments who are charging them. So either it's DPW or it's labs, social services. It's not like one person billing.
So, Mr. Chairman, through you again to the commissioner, said, so can we send out an invoice to say by the end of the week we like our money, right? Because we pay them for a set of services, a whole set of services, including the end of, or the correctional contract, whatever things else that they have. To say you pay us our money, right? Just like we had that situation.
We had that situation
with the bonding that time when the bank called us up and told us to be on notice that we were going to have to pay $60 million at the end of the week, and then they did whatever they had to do. So, you know, understanding it through joint review that they do have, you know, cash in their fund balance to do what they have to do to pay this. So, you know, there's no reason that we should not have our bill paid before the end of the week, so that we can make sure that we're closing, you know, things.
Chairman, just so you both.
Let me get Ann, because Ann wants to fill in.
Well, I just think that we need them to acknowledge and pay us for the entire amount, the $3.2 million and the $2.5 million.
That's the bill that we're going to send,
everything.
Right? We're going to send them a bill for $5.8 million. Yeah. That's what
I mean, I'll double check. I'm sure I can send it. I don't see any issue with me sending it.
If not, blame us, but the truth of the matter is...
I'm just saying, I don't know if by protocol, if the department should, but I'll check with legal if I should.
I think that in this case, because it was the closeout of the MO, I mean, I think moving forward, the departments are billing individually out
and
there.
They're
this was
not
a closeout on the MO that finance is the one that did the final accounting for.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
And by the way, we have representation from us at the medical center and the members, I think, Judy and Mr. Ryan and Chairman, let them know. I mean, this is an ongoing relationship, and we need to respect each other's commitment to this ongoing relationship.
Sure. Chairman, just so that you're aware and the board is aware, to date, in 2010, we have billed $2,194,387.30, they have not been acknowledged. Bills, and this is for 2010 services, which are strictly, you know, dollar for dollar, you know, the electricity, the oil, the gas for the car. So they have not acknowledged their current bills.
How much is it?
$2,194,387.30, and that's as of June 25th. So the charges are actually higher than that, but this is the amount that's been billed. And that's for fuel, DPW, which would be the utilities, IT services.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman.
And what, Ann, do you have any comment on this item? Because what happens is this is becoming an item of concern, and please
very much a concern.
Use this committee to exercise our pressure, because the truth of the matter is, it's not a secret that we're running into severe benefits as a county, and we are partners to the medical center. So please, this invoice needs to be very serious and timely.
Do you have written down
when
we have our next?
Yes.
So even if the medical center cannot give us the money by the end of the week, as Chairman Jenkins suggested, as long as they acknowledge they owe us the debt, then we can address that in the fund balance in 2009.
Yeah, they acknowledge the debt piece.
We're usually Wednesday. The MO piece as well. So as long as they acknowledge it, we can include that in the fund balance for 2009, which will then be available to support the 2011 budget.
Okay.
If they send us the money, that would be great.
That's fine.
But in the absence of them sending us the money, if they acknowledge that they owe us the money,
I think they need more than acknowledge it, Olivia, because I'd have to get this past the auditor, so they would have to send a commitment, a letter of commitment, you know, some kind of an actual...
Yep, we're going to
committed amount that we will be paying
And again, if this committee needs to approve that letter of commitment in order, you see what the sentiment of the committee is.
Yeah.
We want to be able to know.
We don't need to do it.
We don't need to. Whatever needs to happen, I really, what I'm encouraging here is people, at the end of the day, regardless of what our disagreements are here, we need to be together on the fact that our balance sheets need to be stronger, and they're not at this point.
I want to ask you this.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm just amazed that, let's go back, okay, when they did not want to take the correction officer's help because they could not afford to pay for it, okay? Upstairs went and looked for somebody, okay, found somebody, and then they come back and say they can't even pay their bills. I mean, where do they have the nerve to say they want to take that back again?
That's a...
I have a kind of a loose end just for my own information. I understand that we didn't quote the right figure on the relative to the debt and the confusion over a principal payment that seemed to be reflected as being made but wasn't made. I understand that. But the thing that confuses me is why would the level of debt had any bearing on this at all, because the IGT payment amount at the time should not have come to us from them based on outstandings. It was pretty much supposed to match dollar for dollar what we had laid out.
They were paying the full, I can't speak of what happened prior to that time, but my information is that at that point they paid us or attempted to pay us the total amount of debt on that particular issue, and the amount was given to them as 20, I don't have that here, it was about 23 or 25 million.
Your explanation is very clear, and I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is this, when the IGT availability became known to the county, the transaction typically was one where we were kind of exchanging funds over a 24 or 48 hour period. And the amount of money sent and the amount of money received was pretty much the same. I think one transaction was off like a dollar.
Yes.
You know, this kind of stuff. But it was pretty much the same. And so even if there was no debt on the books that we would have used internally to apply to, because as you remember, the early IGTs, we were posting the payment from the medical center to amounts, in some cases, on the shelf, amounts that we had incurred, mm-hmm. expenses we had incurred to their benefit, and then we could post those payments as if to say that they had now paid, they had covered that cost. And what I'm saying is, even if there was nothing on the shelf, when we put money out on the IGT, we were expecting back the same amount. So I'm just curious as to, was it just a coincidence that the payoff on the debt happened to be about the same, maybe within a dollar or two of the amount? I mean, was that what it was, a coincidence?
Because you know what? I can give you the sheet, because Bennett Kielsen reconciled mm-hmm. that at year-end. Mm-hmm. That's one in one of their year-end audit reports, because we looked at it the other day. I mean, year-end, when they come to you when the budget's being adopted, yeah. There's the IGT reconciliation in the back, and that one is there. So you can see what okay. came in and what went out. And what
you know what I'm saying. In a typical transaction, if we put out temporarily $15 million, we'd expect $15 million back. We weren't going to accept only 11 because they had amounts owing to us on
they,
our records.
They paid us,
11.
What you're saying is absolutely correct. They paid us the amount equal to the IGT.
Right.
It just, there's still a balance of $2.5 million on debt that they need to pay us for. In other words, we pay it, they have to give it back
and
to us.
And that is not in question, and that has been
acknowledged. Well, they acknowledge that.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But in my mind, I view the IGT transaction as separate from amounts that they owed us under other arrangements.
Well, there was a time, though, when we were using those amounts to offset the IGTs.
All the early transactions.
And that's what that's where this falls.
That is the last one that fell under that.
So do you recall, was the, because that was the last one, was the amount outstanding more or less than what they would have paid us in a clean IGT transaction where there was nothing on the shelf waiting to be paid? Do you remember whether it was higher or lower?
It would have been more, I believe. We still probably had something hanging out there.
So they probably agreed, we're going to give you back the IGT. We're going to complete the transaction. But we had this outstanding on the books. We'd like to clean that up as well.
Yes.
Yes.
And when we gave them the number we gave them was short.
That's right. My assumption. Okay.
And I'll show you the thing. I think it'll help if you see the
But it is clear. And
clear
what we are,
happened in that case. Absolutely.
What we are requesting is that they be billed as soon as possible.
Yes, I will do it today.
If they're not paying us back by this week, to at least acknowledge in a formal commitment that we are counting with this funding in our crucial economic times. Also, I want to direct the senior staff to look into. I understand that there were letters of layoffs going out regarding some of our grant programs. And I am not aware as a budget chairman. Let's find out how does this happen, as this is an item that needs to be heard at this table. I would invite either finance or the budget or personnel, whoever it is, because this is very serious. I mean, we're making moves along with the administration to make sure that people don't hit the street in this tough economic times. And we approve grants through ANC and through budget and appropriations. If there is any communication or pink slips going out, as chairman of budget and appropriations, I want to hear about it at this table. I don't want to hear it on the street. All right. So whoever is in charge and whatever the logistics are, please bring it to this table.
Thank you,
Commissioner. Thanks so much. So send them that bill. Okay. I'll drive you over there. Pick up the money. Motion to adjourn.
So
moved and seconded. All in favor? All
right.
Stand adjourn. Thanks so much, everybody.
Just as well without a tie.
Hey, listen, my wife has this beautiful white shirt. I said, honey, give me short sleeves today.
And the shirt turned blue at what point?
No, she had a white complete.
Oh,
this is not a shirt, this is a guayabera.
She was figuring you for a shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew
that.
But you know, it's like the.